James Baptist Church, you ought to have a King James Bible. Amen. I just thought I'd point that out. I mean, it's obvious. But if you would, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 2. Deuteronomy chapter 2, and let's start there in verse 24. Rise ye up, take your journey, pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given unto thine hand Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it, and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven. Who shall hear report of thee, and shall tremble, and be in anguish because of thee. And I sent messengers out of the wilderness of Kamoth unto Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace, saying, Let me pass through thy land. I will go along the highway. I will neither turn unto the right hand nor to the left. Thou shalt sell me meat for money, and that I may eat, and give me water for money, that I may drink. Only I will pass through the land on my feet, as the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me, until I shall pass over Jordan unto the land which the Lord our God giveth thee. But Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him, for the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him unto thy hand, as appeareth this day. Let's pray. Father, help us now this morning. We need thy wisdom, need thy power. We ask for liberty to preach. Anoint us with thy spirit. Hide us behind the cross. And help us, O God, to be a blessing to these thy people. Encourage those that are out of the way. We'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I want to use that passage there, and I said use it because it has nothing to do with anything I want to talk about. I want to use it kind of as a springboard, as a pretext, a thought, and I want to bring you a little message this morning entitled, Highway to Heaven. Some years ago, some rock star, some dope-headed, fornicating reprobate, recorded a song and made a couple of million dollars called I'm on the Highway to Hell. And it was a big rock song, and as a matter of fact, it's a classic. They still sing and play that thing today. And that guy was braggadocious. He was enthusiastic about it. He was excited about it, telling the world that he was on the highway to hell. Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you, I'm on the highway to heaven, and I'm real excited about it. Matter of fact, I'm just tickled to death about it, and I hope you are. I want to talk to you about that a few minutes. I want to talk to you about that highway. My mother-in-law, she was an unusual woman in a lot of ways, and like most of us, she had her good points and her bad, but she liked to ride. She never had a driver's license in her whole life. But she liked to go places. She liked to see stuff. And if you would take her, she would buy all the gas and all the Pepsi Colas and cheese crackers that you could eat. She would freely spend her money if you'd just ride her. She used to say, Sissy, ride me till I sweat and buy me ice cream. And my wife got a lot from her. And we'll be going someplace, and my wife would say, turn down that road right there. I said, why? That's why I've never been down there. She just wants to go. She just wants to see what's down that little old road, little old stretch of highway. And I'd say, Sissy, there ain't nothing down there. Well, let's just go look. And so I tool off and we go down there. And here's some old timber-covered land or a pasture and some nasty-looking old cows and falling down old barns, and you get down there, and it takes you 5 minutes to turn around because the little dirt road's so narrow. And And there wasn't nothing down there but a run-down old house and a run-down old barn and some run-down old cows. Now, I must confess that on some of those escapades, I have seen some really great rusty old cars I'd love to have in my yard. One of the things I like about Southerners is every real Southerner's got something in the backyard rusting. You ever notice that? They got a tractor or an old car or something back there, you know. And I've been trying for years to find me just the right piece to put out there in my backyard so everybody think I was born and raised here. But we go down them little old roads, and there ain't nothing down there, and I turn around and we go back. I say, are you happy now? Yeah. Yeah. She just loves to go down them little old roads. Our country is filled to overflowing with highways. There's a way to go here and a way to go there, and you know, I mean, and Americans just take it for granted because we are so blessed with all the highways. Now, our text verse there, verse 27, let me pass through thy land, I will go along by the highway. The guy said, I want to pass through your land, I want to go from here to here, and we'll pass through and we'll just stay on this one little stretch of road right here. Said, I won't turn to the right hand, I won't turn to the left hand. If you'll just let us go through, we'll just scoot right through here and we'll be gone. You'll never know we're here. Amen? He said, I just want to use your highway for a minute. I got to thinking about that. Life is like a highway, you know. We say the highways of life, or we're on life's highway. And what we mean is that we're going from birth to death and whatever lies beyond, and we're going to take a road, a route, a path, a way to get us from here to here. Now, a lot of folks are not going to end up where they think they're going to end up because they never got on the right road. Okay. And I don't care how hard you work at it, if you're on the wrong road, you end up in the wrong place. It's just, I mean, you cannot end up in San Francisco taking I-95. Because you say, why? Because it don't go there. You can ride and ride and ride and ride. You can buy yourself a brand new Lincoln Mark 8 or 9 or whatever it is now and just ride it until the motor falls out, going round in circles on I-95 and I-20, and you never in a million years going to end up in San Francisco, California, because them roads don't go there. Amen? The road you're on only takes you wherever the road goes. Now, if you want to get home to glory, you have absolutely, it's just essential that you get on the right road. Get on the wrong highway, get on the wrong way, and you're not going where you want to go. Yeah, somebody stop you and say, where are you going? Oh, I'm going to heaven. Well, sir, okay, that's fine, but you need to turn around because this road don't go there. Oh, well, I'll get there. Don't worry about it. You nutty as a fruitcake, right? If it don't go there, it don't go there. And no matter how much you want it to take you there, and no matter how much you think it's going to get you there, and no matter how much time you spend at working at it, getting there, it just won't get you there because it just doesn't go there. You think folks have figured that out after a while. But some folks think, well, I'm just going to keep working at it. I'm going to persist. I'm going to be clever, and I'll figure out some way to get me this wrong road and take me to the right place. And it just never works. Now, the Bible said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be that go in thereat. A lot of folks on the wrong road. You know why there's a lot of folks on the wrong road? The wrong road's easy to find. And folks get tired of messing around, they'll just take any road they can get. Amen? I had an uncle one time, he wasn't the brightest bulb in the pack. And him and his wife were going to the beach or the coast. Christians go to the coast. Heathens go to the beach. They were going to the coast. And he knew where he was going, and he got behind his tractor trailer, and his tractor trailer had a tag thing on the back that had the name of this town on it. So he just fell in behind it, and he's following it. And it went off the right way and turned off someplace else, and he just followed it. And after a while, my aunt said, "Barry, what are you doing?" He said, "I'm following that truck." She said, "Why are you following that truck?" He said, "Well, we got to go to the coast, and we're going to so-and-so, and that's where he's going." She said, "How do you know that?" "Well, he's got a sign right there on the back of his truck." But that's not where he was going. And Barry wasn't going there either. But he was following that truck, you know. He thought he was going one place. That truck going somewhere else. Kind of dumb. A lot of folks are following somebody else, hoping they know where they're going. That's not a good way to get where you want to go. Broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Because it's easy, then requiring an effort on our part. We don't have to Google it up or do a map quest or any of that stuff. You know, you just find you some other fool and fall in behind him and say, "Where are you going?" "Well, I'm going wherever he's going." Well, you better hope to God he knows where he's going. Problem is, most of them don't. Then it said, "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." You want to know why there are more people on the broad way than there is on the narrow way? Because the broad way is easy to find, and the narrow way is hard to find. That's why. It's easy to find Interstate 77. It's not near as easy to find Highway 216. Amen? Anybody can point you to 77, but you got to find a local resident that knows where South Carolina Highway 216 is at. You say, "Where's it at, preacher?" "I don't know. I just made that number up." That makes it really hard to find. That's the way a lot of people do with their religion, though. They just make it up. They get a little piece off of television, and Charles Stanley said so-and-so, and Billy Graham said something, and Brother Lewis said something else, and they just take all that stuff and tie it together, and Grandma said this, and Aunt Sally said that, and they've got what we call folk religion. Why do you call it folk religion? Because they just got it from different folk. They got a little here, a little there, and just strung it together and invented their own. It got nothing to do with the Bible. It's got nothing to do with the truth. But they're just happy as a bug in the rug with it. And they're going to rest their immortal soul on it. They need to find the right way. Now, let me help you first of all. Number one, here's point number one. Finding the way. If you want to go to heaven, and everybody does, there used to be an old country song said, "Everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die." Had a lot of truth in that, you know. We all want to get there, but nobody wants to die to get there. Well, one of these days you're going to die, and you better make sure you're on the right way. And if you want to end up in heaven, if you want to find the right way to get the glory, there's some things you need to know about. Number one, it said that it's narrow or straight. It's not as big, it's not as well known as the major highways. Christianity is a minuscule part of the religious structure of the world. Most people in the world are not Christian. Amen? There are tons of competing religions. And unless you're just in a particular place or a particular group, sometimes it's hard to even hear about Christianity. Amen? Much less hear the truth about Christianity. Christianity is a narrow way. You say, why is it narrow? Because that Bible said, no man cometh unto the... Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." You understand how many people in the world get upset? Most folks believe that there's always more than one way to get somewhere. I've got a GPS thing in my truck. It's the best thing I've done in years. I've spent my life missing roads, being lost, wondering where the heck I was at. But me and Sissy Boy, I can talk to her and just rub her little face a little bit, and she'll just light up there and tell me exactly where to go and how to get there. I love that girl. That's what I call the girl that talks to me on my GPS. And she can point out the way. But I've noticed a couple things about her. Besides the fact she's contrary sometimes. She don't always give you the most direct way. Sometimes she gives you the quickest way. But it's not the way you would normally think. And so sometimes I don't listen to her. She'll say, turn right and proceed 3 miles or whatever. And I say, I can get there quicker going this way. And I'll turn left. And Sissy will say in a kind of a sharp and hateful tone, recalculating, recalculating. My contention is there's always more than one way to get there. Amen? And that's the way most folks are. We always think that if we're going someplace and we miss a road, well, we can take a road down here, we can take a turn down there. You know, there's always another way. But in Christianity, if you want to get to heaven, there is one road. There is one way, and there are no alternates. And if you go by the entrance, you got to turn around and come back and get on at the right place, or you just don't get on. There's only one on-ramp in the highway to heaven, and that's Jesus Christ. If any man hath the Son, he hath life. If any man hath not the Son of God, he hath not life. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He that hath the Son hath life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is one way, one entrance to the highway to heaven, and that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Say, well, preacher, you mean all them other people that have got religion and think they're on the right way? You think they're not going that? That's exactly what I'm saying. Broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. That highway is big, and that highway is full, and there are many that be that go in thereat. There are tons of folks on the wrong road, on the wrong highway. Now, it's our job, by the way, to help them get them on the right way. But I'm here to tell you, if you take the wrong road, you can't get there. The only way to get there is through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's not Hare Krishna. It's not Muslim. It's not Mr. Mohammed. It's none of those things. It's Jesus Christ or nothing. That's pretty narrow. That's pretty straight. Amen? Now, another reason that gate is hard to find, not because it's just because it's small, it's because it's not well marked these days. You ever notice that if you go over to Rock Hill, almost no matter where you go, you can't go but a couple of miles and you'll see a sign, 277. I mean, if you go out Highway 901 toward Nichols Store, there's a sign out there that says 277. If you go down Dave Lyle Boulevard, like you're going to Galleria, you'll see a sign down there that says 277. If you go down Cherry Road, you'll see a sign down there that says, gives you an arrow, tells you to turn 277. It tells you how to get to Highway 77. It's well marked. I was coming back from Charlotte a couple weeks ago, and I'm coming down Interstate 77, and I see a sign that says, Rock Hill, next 6 exits. And 6 times it told me I could turn off and get to Rock Hill. It's well marked. There's no reason for anybody coming down Highway 77 not to be able to get to Rock Hill. I mean, if you ain't the brightest bulb in the pack, you figure it out after 6 tries. Amen? Now, the highway to heaven is not nearly so well marked. You see, us Christians are supposed to be putting up road signs. The churches are supposed to be welcome centers and visitor centers to show people how to get on the highway to heaven. We're supposed to be pointing people to that narrow gate. We're supposed to be telling them how to get on the right highway. We're supposed to be pointing them to Jesus Christ. But churches these days do everything under the sun except point people to Jesus. They have every kind of social program. There's a church the other week, had a big thing on Sunday morning, and it was called Confessions of a Preacher. And it was, the whole sermon was about how preachers are just like everybody else. We have the same weaknesses and the same faults and the same, well, what fool didn't know that? I don't have to preach a sermon for you to figure out, I'm just like you, flesh and blood. Amen. I don't have any special connections or anything. This guy wasted probably 20 minutes telling folks and confessing problems that preachers have. Well, preachers are people. They got the same problems you got. Why didn't that guy take that 20 minutes he had and point people to the right road? Why didn't he lift up and exalt and magnify Jesus Christ? Why didn't he tell them how to get home to glory? Amen? That's what our job is. I'm supposed to be a traffic director. Yep, you're on the wrong way, buddy. This way, you know. You see them guys standing out there on the road, and they're holding up their signs slow, and they're doing like this, get everybody. And you was going to go that way, but now you got to go this way because this is the right way. Amen? That's what preachers are supposed to do. You know what Christians are supposed to do? Y'all are supposed to be giving directions to wayfaring strangers. Every one of y'all, if saved by God's grace, ought to be telling somebody how to get to the narrow gate and get on the right way and head them toward heaven. Amen. Amen? That means every person in here ought to be directing somebody to find Jesus Christ. That's our job. But the way is not marked well anymore because the churches aren't telling folks about Jesus Christ, and the people aren't telling people about Jesus Christ, and so the world has a hard time finding him. It's a narrow gate, it's a straight way, it's a narrow highway, and it's not well marked, and nobody gives anybody any directions on how to get there. Besides that, there's a lot of confusion about which way is the right way. You ever talk to folks about going home to heaven? It's amazing what some people believe about it. Matter of fact, it's just downright astounding what some people believe about it. I've heard people talk about how they was going to go home to heaven, and I think, now Bob, you've read the Bible cover to cover well over 100 times. Read several thousand books about the Bible and have studied it till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning for over 30 years. And God is my witness. I can't find what they're talking about in that book. I don't know where they got it. It wasn't in the Bible. It wasn't in any book I ever read about the Bible. Where'd they get that stuff? They just made it up out of thin air. But they are absolutely convinced they're on the right road. And if they just keep on doing what they're doing, they're going to make it. And they're lost. You know what? If you want to go from here to Charlotte, you got to get on a road that takes you from here to Charlotte. Now, if you get on the wrong road, you can go almost anywhere you want to, but you won't end up in Charlotte. You know what people say? We rode around. We was lost. Helen Griffin a few years ago, God bless her heart. I mean, if you're talking about somebody with no sense of direction, she don't have one. Her and a couple of her friends was going down to Myrtle Beach, which is on the coast. And they left the house at 7 o'clock in the morning. And their family was waiting on them to call and say, okay, we're here, you know, you can relax. And the phone call never came. And they waited, and they waited, and Mama never called. And this was before everybody had a cell phone, you know. And so they can't call her. And so, man, they're getting worried. They're upset. 1 o'clock in the morning. 1 o'clock in the morning. Helen calls home. She's in tears. James said, Helen, where in the world are you at? She said, I don't know. He said, well, is there a sign around there? And she said, yeah. He said, well, what does the sign say? The sign says, Asheville, 12 miles. She's 300 miles in the wrong direction. If you'd ask her an hour, where are you going? Well, we're going to Myrtle Beach. But they're on the wrong road. Somebody need to help them out, amen? Now listen, there's a lot of folks think they're going to heaven. They think they're on the right way, but they're lost. And you know what you and I need to do? You and I need to get out and give them directions and make it plain and make it simple and get out and show them where the gate's at, show them their way to the highway, and make sure they're on the right road and that it will take them where they want to go. Point number two. This is one of my shortest messages. I only got 4 points. And we're halfway done here now. Now, let me talk to the folks who are on the right way. How many of y'all have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? There was a time and a place when you got saved by God's grace. You have been born again. You've been adopted into the family. You've been quickened by Spirit. You know that you know that you know that you're a child of the King. If you died today, you know you'd go home to glory. Let me see your hand. I'm saved, saved, saved. Amen? Okay. I want to talk to y'all for a minute. You found the gate. You're on the right way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. You think he's got it made now, right? Problem is, there's a lot of twists and turns. A lot of bridges and overpasses and turnouts and side streets on the road that goes to glory. I love the little book called Pilgrim's Progress. Every Christian ought to read that. It's one of the greatest allegories ever written. I usually read it through at least once a year. It's just a phenomenal little book. Next to the Bible is probably my favorite book in the whole world. But when you read that book, a fellow in there named Pilgrim, he's the guy that's going to go from the city of destruction to the celestial city. And what it is, it's an allegory about a fellow that's lost and how he gets saved and then the things he encounters on his way home to glory. Pilgrim goes through the slough of despond, conviction, and all that, and finally he gets out on the other side of the slough of despond, and he finds the wicket gate, and he opens the gate, and he walks through. Now he is in the way. He's in the right place. That's a picture of a saved man. Boy, he is so happy. Because when he gets down there, he goes to the interpreter's house, and the interpreter gives him his book, the scroll, and he reads therein as he goes down the way. But Pilgrim hadn't been in the way almost no time at all, and he starts running into other people. And he runs into a guy called Worldly Wise Man. Here's a guy that's got all the answers. And you don't have to go by the rules in the book. There's shortcuts. And this guy tries to trip old Christian up. And then there was Pliable. That's a guy that nobody, you could talk to him and he would convert to any position. he was holy with the holies, a terror with the terrors. Whatever group he was with, that's what he believed. He was just pliable. There was Beelzebub. He run head on into the devil. And there's just a whole host of people that Christian ran into on his way down the road. He thought when he got in the way, when he closed the gate behind him, and he knew that he was on the right highway, he thought everything was going to be smooth sailing, only to find out he was in the right way, it goes to the right place, but it didn't take away all the problems and temptations and troubles of life. Amen? Now, the right way is going to get him to the right place. But it doesn't mean that he's going to get to the right place without problems, without troubles, without hindrances. Amen? When you get saved, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be filled with bliss and joy and that there will never be any problems or anything anymore. A lot of folks get saved and they think everything's going to be taken care of, and then when trouble comes and there has problems, they throw in a towel, they quit. A Christian had to overcome each and every one of those obstacles. So once you're in the way, there are hazards along the way. How many of y'all ever been on an interstate and you're sailing along there about 75, 80 miles an hour like you're supposed to be? The only thing they can do to improve the interstates is raise the speed limit to 100. I mean, America ought to have an Autobahn. I never figured out why you put 500 horsepower motor in a car and gear it so it'll do 130 miles an hour and then hold everybody down to 55. It just don't make good sense. I mean, just let them do 130 and kill each other. You know, I mean, just hallelujah, glory. I mean, have fun. Anyway, we have this great road system, but you're going down through there, and all of a sudden, the traffic slows down. Then it stops. And you see a sign over there flashing, construction ahead. And you spend 2 hours in traffic getting down there, and you find out they're resurfacing the road, or they're redoing a bridge, or they had to cut the highway open to fix a pipe or something underneath it. And it's a hazard. It's a pain in the neck. It slows you down. It takes up your time. You're still on the right road. It still goes the right place. But you're not going to get there near as quick as you thought you were. You're not going to get there as trouble-free as you thought you were. Amen. Are you going down the road, and all of a sudden the traffic backs up, and boy, that just aggravates you. You know, about 5 o'clock in the afternoon, you're coming down 77 toward Rock Hill, and the traffic's doing about 1 mile an hour. You look over on the side going from Rock Hill to Charlotte, man, they just doing 60. I mean, they just getting it. You say, what's wrong over here? I don't know, man. I've been down that road a many a time and spent an hour and a half, 2 hours in traffic. And I swear to goodness, when you get down there, I never saw a wreck. I never saw a wrecker. I never saw an obstacle. I never saw nothing. I don't know what the deal was. I think somebody just rubbernecking down there, and one guy slowed down, everybody slowed down behind him. But a lot of times you look over and there's a wreck, and you got to slow down until they clear the traffic. That's the way life is. You know, you get saved by God's grace and you're on your way to glory, and you say, well, I'm headed to heaven. I'm a child of the King now, and everything's going to be wonderful. And sooner or later, something's going to slow you down. Something's going to impede your progress. You're on the right road. Don't give up. You're going to the right place. It's the right highway. But it's got its problems and its temptations and its trouble. That Bible said, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble as the sparks fly upward. If you live and breathe, you're going to have problems. Amen. Sometimes you're on that interstate, you headed to wherever it is you're going, and you have to blow a tire out. It's just the way it is on that highway. Thank God it's still the right highway. We're going down Interstate 85 one time. We're going down to Spartanburg to a gospel singing, just the wife and I. And we had just turned down there at that Flying J truck stop where you come out of Blacksburg, turned on to 85. And I was just getting up to speed. I was doing about 75, 80. And coming down that road, and there's a tractor trailer in the right-hand lane. I'm in the left-hand lane because that tractor trailer ain't going nowhere near fast enough to stay in front. And all of a sudden, that guy blew out a tire on that trailer. And that truck was all over the road. I mean, that guy must have been a genius. He managed to get that truck stopped and get it over on the shoulder of the road without hitting anybody, without losing the trailer, and without killing himself. I stopped and got in front of that guy and walked back there to him and told him what a great job he did. I mean, he fought that thing down like he was wrestling a bear, buddy. Now, I'm on the right road. I'm going to Spartanburg. This guy has a blowout and about wipes out everybody on it, but I'm telling you, that road we're on still going to Spartanburg. That guy had a blowout and had to stop and get somebody to come out and help him change them tires and all that. But he was going to Spartanburg, and he is still on the road to Spartanburg, even though he had trouble getting there, even though things came up he didn't expect, even though he didn't get there when he thought he was going to get there, that road still goes to Spartanburg. And if you're on the right road, sooner or later you get to the right place. Amen. See what he's saying? I'm saying just because the road of life and the road to heaven has some obstacles in it and some hard places, don't change roads, don't give up, don't throw in the towel. If it's the right road, it will take you to the right place. Sick and tired of people say, well, I used to go to church. I used to be a Christian. I'm not interested in used to. What are you doing now? If you're on the right road, what'd you quit for? You don't want to go there anymore? Oh no, I still want to go there. Everybody out there on the road, the highway to heaven, there's all kind of things you're going to run into. All kind of obstacles, all kind of detours that can snare you. There's carnal pleasure, there's wealth, there's substance abuse, there's recreation, there's fame, you name it. There's every kind of distraction out there you can think of that will make you want to turn off the road you're on and go someplace else. There are as many side roads on the road to heaven as there is on the broadway that leadeth to destruction. Amen? You say, well, if you're saved, you're going to get to heaven, right? Yeah, but how are you going to get there? I'm talking about the quality of your Christian life, the quality of your Christian experience. You can't live bad and turn out good. You can't get on the wrong road and go to the right place. Now, I'm a firm believer in eternal security. I believe that. See? But and so I'm not talking about the final destination. I'm talking about your walk, your peace, your joy, the quality of your Christian life. You can't dabble in the world. You can't live like hell and end up like an angel. It just doesn't work that way. Somebody say amen. Now, not only are there hazards on the way, let me show you how to have success on the highway to heaven. This is our text verse. Write this down. Y'all got a pencil and a piece of paper? Look over at Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 27. Get you a ballpoint mechanical writing device. You got one? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 27. And just write in the margin over there someplace, how to be successful on the highway to heaven. Go ahead, write it down. It won't hurt you. Write in it. Oh, I don't believe in writing in the Bible. Well, you're just going to put words down there, ain't you? Well, what do you think's on that page? Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 27. How to be successful on the highway to heaven. And then underline, I will turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. That's how to be successful. So what do you got to do? Get on the right road and don't turn off. Don't go that way. Don't go that way. Bless God, that highway goes this way. You stay on that highway. You say, well, everybody else got off right there. And the Presbyterians are over here and the Catholics over there and the Baptists went there. I don't give a flip what none of them done. I said, son, when you get on the right way, when you find Jesus Christ, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Get in Christ, come to him, repent of your sin, get on the right way, and then don't turn right and don't turn left. Follow Jesus Christ. Now, if you stay on the road and don't turn off, you can't get lost. You can't get waylaid. And I guarantee you will end up in the right place. Amen? I'm saying, people say, well, I got saved a year ago. I got saved 6 months ago. I got saved when I was a little girl. I got saved when I was a little boy. I went to daily vacation Bible school and I made a profession of faith. But they never lived for God. There's no evidence of change in their life. They don't have any convictions or morals or standards or no faithfulness, no direction, and no purpose in life. What in the world made you think anything happened? I'm here to tell you, on the right way, there are certain road signs that point you in the right direction. You ever get out on the road and you say, Here's the sign that says mile marker 41. That tells you you've come 41 miles or you got 41 miles to go. I never can quite figure that out. R.G. Lee's brother used to be in a nursing home over here in Rock Hill. R.G. Lee was the pastor of Bellevue Baptist Church down in Tennessee, and he preached that sermon, Payday Someday, by Ahab and all sitting on the throne, and it's a world-famous sermon. And he used to have a little thing called bread from Bellevue oven. It was good stuff. He was the prince of preachers. Nobody had more descriptive adjectives than R.G. Lee. Well, his brother was over here in a nursing home, and we used to go over there and visit him. And every time I go over there and see him, that old man would come. He's a big, tall man, nice-looking fella. Snowy white hair, and always had on a coat and stuff. He's just a real Southern Christian gentleman. And I say, Mr. Lee, how you doing? He'd say, I'm on Highway 93. Headed home. He was 93 years old. He'd been following the Lord his whole life. He got saved when he was a boy. Never quit serving God. Never got backslid. Never got out of the way. He'd say, I'm on Highway 93. Headed home. Highway 93. Headed home. I used to love that. That old man had been faithful and consistent. He got saved and fell in love with Jesus Christ. He never quit going to church. He never turned aside to the right hand or the left hand. He got his eye on the prize, and he just kept on keeping on until God took him home one day when he was 94 years old. I thought, man, what a blessing. You want to be successful on the highway to heaven? Turn neither to the right hand nor to the left. We used to go to a gospel singing up in Virginia Beach, and there's a group called the Cavaliers, Chico and Garnet. Chico was the lead singer and the piano player, and Garnet was his wife, and she did most of the singing. But they used to sing a song, and she's a big old, kind of a raw-boned woman. She could sing, though. And she sang a song called My Foot's on the Rock. What was it? Yeah, I've got my mind made up. Yeah. But the thing was, my foot's on the rock, my mind's made up, and it's talking about going to heaven. She's not going to change, not going to give up, not going to change places. Her mind was made up. Amen. But that's what you need when you get saved. You need to get on the right way. You need to get on the right path. You need to enter into the straight gate. Then you need to say, my heart is fixed. My mind is made up. My eyes stayed. My foot is firm. My faith is settled. My confidence is sure. And I will not. I will not. I will not turn to the right hand or to the left. So, but preacher, the Baptists have changed their position. And I don't care. I'm only a Baptist because I think they're closer to the truth than anybody else. If I found somebody that followed that New Testament closer than the Baptist, I'd change in the morning. Being a Baptist ain't super pseudo-saint to me, son. Amen. Amen? I'm a Christian. Amen. I'm a Christian by conviction. I'm a Baptist by persuasion. I could give up being a Baptist in the morning if you find something better. Sometimes I've heard people say, well, I was born a Baptist and I'm going to die a Baptist. Not me, son. I want to die right. If that's a Baptist, fine. If it ain't, that's fine too. But I'm a Christian. And I'm not going to give that up, and I'm not going to change that. And I don't care which way the church goes. I don't care which way you go. I will not change. I will not move to the right hand nor to the left. I'm going to tell you something. That old King James Bible and faith in Jesus Christ getting washed in the blood of the Lamb was sufficient to save my soul and give me peace and joy 35 years ago, and it is still good today. I still enjoy it myself, and I can still recommend it to you and to your family and to your friends. The truth is the truth, and the right road is still the right road, son. If you want to go to heaven, you got to come to Jesus Christ. Now let me close with this. If you're on the right road, be prepared for the hazards and the hardships. Brother Henry and Brother Carol, they went to pick up our new steeple, and the wife and I were praying And we prayed that they wouldn't have any car trouble, wouldn't have any trouble with the roads, wouldn't have any trouble with the highway patrol, that they would get up there and get it and get back and everything would go just smooth as silk. And it did. Amen. So why did you pray that? Because trips are often filled with problems. And we didn't want him to have it. And the Lord blessed, and they got up there and got it and got back, and everything's fine. But it's not often that way. And your life is not always going to be that way. You may be enjoying a great time in your life right now. Maybe your marriage is better than it's ever been. You've got more money than you've ever had. The bills are paid. The kids are doing good. You're serving the Lord. Your health is fine. Well, just give it a little while. I guarantee it'll crumble. Trouble is just around the corner. Somebody said one time, you're either in a storm, just came out of a storm, or you're headed into one. That's the way life is. Amen? So when you get there, remember, if you're on the right way, if you're on the right road, don't change roads just because there's an obstacle. But if you're not on that right road yet, if you're looking for the highway to heaven, let me give you some direction this morning. If you're here this morning and you cannot raise your hand, you cannot look into your heart and say, I know that I know that I know I'm a child of King. There's a moment in time. There's a place where I was saved by God's grace and became a child of the King. If you can't do that, if you can't say, I know I'm on the highway to heaven and there's no doubt in my mind, if you can't do that, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to get on that highway, listen to me for just a couple of minutes. I want to give you direction on how to find the right highway, how to find the right road. Bible said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. That means we're lost. We've gone astray. We don't know where we're at. We're on the wrong road. Amen? That's everybody. But then the Bible went on to say, after we realize we're lost, if we would receive Jesus Christ, did he say? He said, all that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Now, there's purpose and direction in that. You've got to come to the right person in order to have it. But you're assured that if you come, he will give it. All that come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You come to Christ, he will receive you. Amen. That Bible said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You want to get on the right road? We'll turn your life around. Get on the right highway. Make sure you come out the right place. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. To as many as received him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you'll receive Christ, if you're in him, you are on the right way. And the right way will take you to the right place. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Want to go to heaven and live forever? He's the gate. And he is the way. And he is the only way and the only gate. If any man climb up any other way, he is a thief and a robber. He said, I'm the gate to the sheepfold. By me, if any man enter in. There's one gate. There's one entrance. Now, you can ride up and down Highway 49 all day and all night. And there are all kind of intersecting roads, and there are driveways, and some of them are long and pretty. There's a fellow lives right down below me, got a big old brick house over there, and 4 or 5 acres of grass in front of his house. Got a big old long driveway, and got trees on both sides. Real pretty. Now, the driveway to my house is not pretty. My yard's not pretty. I don't do yard work. I hire some Mexican to cut the grass every 2 weeks, and after that, I don't care. I ain't spending my life cutting grass and all that nonsense. it's such a futile thing. I mean, you cut it today, in 3 or 4 days, it needs cutting again. What a waste. I ain't doing it, man. I just keep it nice enough so the neighbors don't talk about us. Of course, my neighbor right now is worse off than we are. We talked about it the other day. It's pretty bad when our house wins yard of the month. Anyway, you ride up down 49 and look at all them highways and all them driveways and stuff. But if you want to come to my house, there's only one way to get there. There are thousands of driveways. There are hundreds of highways off of Highway 49, but they won't bring you to my house. Go out there and ride down 49 sometime and look for that little old shack over there on the, well, it depends on where you're coming or going, but on one side of the road or not. There's a little old house over there. That's my house. It's not very pretentious, and the driveway is kind of rough, but that's where I live. And there's only one way to get there. You say, well, I want to go down this pretty driveway right down here. Yeah, you can, but it won't take you to my house. You understand what I'm saying? If you want to come to my house, there's one drive you can turn in. Any other way is the wrong way. If you want to go to heaven, there's one way. One. And that's Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and He will save you and put you in the way. He is the highway to heaven. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank You now for Your goodness and Your mercy. Now, Lord, I know most of these folks in here, and they're all going to say they're on the highway. I hope You would help them to examine themselves, let them drag out their spiritual GPS, and make sure. That Bible said, examine yourselves, how that you be in the faith, except you be reprobate. Sometimes it does us good to stop and look and ask ourselves, are you sure? Are you sure? Do you know that you know that you know you're saved this morning? If you do, thank God for it. Sing and shout and have a good old time. I'm in the glory land way. There's an old gospel song people used to sing. I'm in the glory land way. Boy, if you're saved by God's grace, you're in the glory land way. But if this morning you ask yourself that and there's no assurance and there's no witness from the Spirit of God that you're saved by God's grace, you ought to come this morning and say, preacher, I need to get saved. I'm on the wrong way. I'm not on the way that takes you home to glory. I'm not going to end up in heaven. And I don't want to die and go to hell. We give you an opportunity this morning to do that. We're going to stand and be dismissed. But if you've got any questions about your salvation, if you're unsure, or if you know for sure that you're not saved, you hang around and we'll take that old King James Bible and sit down and take as long as it takes to show you how to be saved and how you can know that you are, and you can leave here saying, I'm on the highway to heaven. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen.